The voice of the disciple. Trusting in thy goodness and great mercy, O Lord, I draw near, the sick to the healer, the hungering and thirsting to the fountain of life, the poverty-stricken to the King of heaven, the servant to the Lord, the creature to the Creator, the desolate to my own gentle comforter. But whence is this unto me that thou comest unto me? Who am I that thou shouldest offer me thyself? How doth a sinner dare to appear before thee? And how dost thou vouchsafe to come to the sinner? Thou knowest thy servant, and thou knowest that he hath in him no good thing for which thou shouldest grant him this grace. I confess therefore mine own vileness, I acknowledge thy goodness, I praise thy tenderness, and I give thee thanks for thine exceeding great love. For thou doest this for thine own sake, not for my merits, that thy goodness may be more manifest unto me, thy charity more abundantly poured out upon me, and thy humility more perfectly commended unto me. Therefore, because this pleaseth thee, and thou hast commanded that thus it shall be, thy condescension pleaseth me also, and O that mine iniquity hinder it not. 2. O most sweet and tender Jesus, what reverence, what giving of thanks is due to thee with perpetual praise for the receiving of thy sacred body and blood, the dignity whereof no man is found able to express. But what shall I think upon in this communion in approaching my Lord, whom I am not able worthily to honour, and nevertheless whom I long devoutly to receive? What shall be better and more healthful meditation for me than utter humiliation of myself before thee, and exaltation of thine infinite goodness towards me? I praise thee, O my God, and exalt thee for evermore. I despise myself, and cast myself down before thee into the deep of my vileness. 3. Behold, thou art the saint of saints, and I the refuse of sinners. Behold, thou stoopest unto me, who am not worthy to look upon thee. Behold, thou comest unto me, thou willest to be with me, thou invitest me to thy feast. Thou willest to give me the heavenly food and bread of angels to eat. None other, in truth, than thyself, the living bread, which didst descend from heaven, and givest life to the world. 1. 4. Behold whence this love proceedeth. What manner of condescension shineth forth herein? What great giving of thanks and praise is due unto thee for these benefits? O how salutary and profitable thy purpose when thou didst ordain this! How sweet and pleasant the feast when thou didst give thyself for food! O how admirable is thy working, O Lord! How mighty thy power! How unspeakable thy truth! For thou didst speak the word, and all things were made, and this is done which thou hast commanded. 5. A thing wonderful and worthy of faith, and surpassing all the understanding of man, that thou, O Lord my God and very man, givest thyself altogether to us in a little bread and wine, and art so our inexhaustible food. Thou, O Lord of all, who hast need of nothing, hast willed to dwell in us through thy sacrament. Preserve my heart and my body undefiled, that with a joyful and pure conscience I may be able very often to celebrate, and too, receive to my perpetual health thy mysteries which thou hast consecrated and instituted both for thine own honour and for a perpetual memorial. 6. Rejoice, O my soul, and give thanks unto God for so great a gift and precious consolation left unto thee in this vale of tears. For so oft as thou callest this mystery to mind and receivest the body of Christ, so often dost thou celebrate the work of thy redemption and art made partaker of all the merits of Christ. For the charity of Christ never groweth less, and the greatness of his propitiation is never exhausted. Therefore, by continual renewal of thy spirit, thou oughtest to dispose thyself hereunto, and to weigh the great mystery of salvation with attentive consideration. So great, new, and joyful ought it to appear to thee when thou comest to communion, as if on this selfsame day Christ for the first time were descending into the Virgin's womb and becoming man, or hanging on the cross, suffering and dying for the salvation of mankind. 1. John 6, verse 51. 2. The words in brackets are only suitable for a priest. Chapter 3. That it is profitable to communicate often. The voice of the disciple. Behold, I come unto thee, O Lord, that I may be blessed through thy gift, and be made joyful in thy holy feast, which thou, O God of thy goodness, hast prepared for the poor. Behold, in thee is all that I can and ought to desire. Thou art my salvation and redemption, my hope and strength, my honour and glory. Therefore rejoice the soul of thy servant this day, for unto thee, O Lord Jesus, do I lift up my soul. I long now to receive thee devoutly and reverently. I desire to bring thee into my house, so that with Zacchaeus I may be counted worthy to be blessed by thee, and numbered among the children of Abraham. My soul hath an earnest desire for thy body. My heart longeth to be united with thee. 2. Give me thyself, and it sufficeth, for besides thee no consolation availeth. Without thee I cannot be, and without thy visitation I have no power to live. And therefore I must needs draw nigh unto thee often, and receive thee for the healing of my soul, lest haply I faint by the way if I be deprived of heavenly food. For so thou, most merciful Jesus, preaching to the people and healing many sick, didst once say, I will not send them away fasting to their own homes, lest they faint by the way. 3. Deal therefore now to me in like manner, for thou left thyself for the consolation of the faithful in the sacrament. For thou art the sweet refreshment of the soul, and he who shall eat thee worthily shall be partaker and inheritor of the eternal glory. Necessary indeed it is for me, who so often slide backwards and sin, so quickly wax cold and faint, to renew, cleanse, and kindle myself by frequent prayers and penitences and receiving of thy sacred body and blood, lest haply by too long abstinence I fall short of my holy resolutions. 3. For the imaginations of man's heart are evil from his youth. 4. And except divine medicine succour him, man slideth away continually unto the worse. The Holy Communion therefore draweth us back from evil and strengtheneth us for good. For if I now be so negligent and lukewarm when I communicate or celebrate, how should it be with me if I receive not this medicine and sought not so great a help? And though I am not every day fit nor well prepared to celebrate, I will nevertheless give diligent heed at due season to receive the divine mysteries and to become partaker of so great grace. For this is the one principal consolation of a faithful soul, so long as it is absent from thee in mortal body, that being continually mindful of its God, it receiveth its beloved with devout spirit. 4. O wonderful condescension of thy pity surrounding us, that thou, O Lord God, creator and quickener of all spirits, deignest to come unto a soul so poor and weak, and to appease its hunger with thy whole deity and humanity. O happy mind and blessed soul, to which is granted devoutly to receive thee its Lord God, and in so receiving thee to be filled with all spiritual joy. O how great a Lord doth it entertain, how beloved a guest doth it bring in, how delightful a companion doth it receive, how faithful a friend doth it welcome, how beautiful and exalted a spouse above every other beloved doth it embrace, one to be loved above all things that can be desired. O my most sweet beloved, let heaven and earth and all the glory of them be silent in thy presence, seeing whatsoever praise and beauty they have, it is of thy gracious bounty, and they shall never reach unto the loveliness of thy name, whose wisdom is infinite. 5. 1. Psalm 68, verse 10. 2. Psalm 86, verse 4. 3. Matthew 15, verse 32. 4. Genesis 8, verse 21. 5. Psalm 147, verse 5. Chapter 4. That many good gifts are bestowed upon those who communicate devoutly. The voice of the disciple, and, O Lord my God, prevent thou thy servant with the blessings of thy sweetness, that I may be enabled to draw near worthily and devoutly to thy glorious sacrament. Awaken my heart towards thee, and deliver me from heavy slumber. Visit me with thy salvation, that I may in spirit taste thy sweetness, which plentifully lieth hid in this sacrament as in a fountain. Lighten also mine eyes to behold this so great mystery, and strengthen me that I may believe it with undoubting faith, for it is thy word, not human power. It is thy holy institution, not the invention of man. For no man is found fit in himself to receive and to understand these things, which transcend even the wisdom of the angels. What portion then shall I, unworthy sinner, who am but dust and ashes, be able to search into and comprehend of so deep a sacrament? 2. O Lord, in the simplicity of my heart, in good and firm faith, and according to thy will, I draw nigh unto thee with hope and reverence, and truly believe that thou art here present in the sacrament, God and man. Thou willest therefore that I receive thee and unite myself to thee in charity. Wherefore I beseech thy mercy, and implore thee to give me thy special grace, to this end, that I may be wholly dissolved and overflow with love towards thee, and no more suffer any other consolation to enter into me. For this most high and most glorious sacrament is the health of the soul and the body, the medicine of all spiritual sickness, whereby I am healed of my sins, my passions are bridled, temptations are conquered or weakened, more grace is poured into me, virtue begun is increased, Faith is made firm, hope is strengthened, and charity is enkindled and enlarged. 3. For in this sacrament thou hast bestowed many good things, and still bestowest them continually on thine elect who communicate devoutly, O my God, lifter up of my soul, repairer of human infirmity, and giver of all inward consolation. For thou pourest into them much consolation against all sorts of tribulation, and out of the deep of their own misery thou liftest them up to the hope of thy protection, and with ever new grace dost inwardly refresh and enlighten them, so that they who felt themselves to be anxious and without affection before communion, afterwards being refreshed with heavenly food and drink, find themselves changed for the better. And even in such wise thou dealest severally with thine elect, that they may truly acknowledge and clearly make proof that they have nothing whatsoever of their own, and what goodness and grace come to them from thee. Because being in themselves cold, hard of heart, indevout through thee, they become fervent, zealous, and devout. For who is there coming humbly to the fountain of sweetness, carrieth not away thence at the least some little of that sweetness? Or who, standing by a large fire, feeleth not from thence a little of its heat? And thou art ever a full and overflowing fountain, a fire continually burning and never going out. 4. Wherefore, if it is not suffered to me to draw from the fullness of the fountain, nor to drink unto satisfying, yet will I set my lips to the mouth of the heavenly conduit, that at least I may receive a small drop to quench my thirst, that I dry not up within my heart. And if I am not yet able to be altogether heavenly and so enkindled as the cherubim and seraphim, yet will I endeavour to give myself unto devotion, and to prepare my heart, that I may gain, if it be but a little flame of the divine fire, through the humble receiving of the life-giving sacrament. But whatsoever is wanting unto me, O merciful Jesus, most holy Saviour, do thou of thy kindness and grace supply, who hast vouchsafed to call all unto thee, saying, Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will refresh you. 5. I indeed labour in the sweat of my face. I am tormented with sorrow of heart. I am burdened with sins. I am disquieted with temptations. I am entangled and oppressed with many passions. And there is none to help me, there is none to deliver and ease me, but thou, O Lord God, my Saviour, to whom I commit myself and all things that are mine, that thou mayest preserve me and lead me unto life eternal. Receive me unto the praise and glory of thy name, who has prepared thy body and blood to be my meat and drink. Grant, O Lord God, my Saviour, that with coming often to thy mysteries, the zeal of my devotion may increase. Chapter 5. Of the dignity of this sacrament, and of the office of the priest. The voice of the beloved. If thou hadst angelic purity and the holiness of holy John the Baptist, thou wouldest not be worthy to receive or to minister this sacrament, for this is not deserved by merit of man, that a man should consecrate and minister the sacrament of Christ, and take for food the bread of angels. Vast is the mystery, and great is the dignity of the priests, to whom is given what is not granted to angels. For priests only, rightly ordained in the church, have the power of consecrating and celebrating the body of Christ. The priest indeed is the minister of God, using the word of God by God's command and institution. Nevertheless, God is there the principal author and invisible worker, that to whom all that he willeth is subject and all he commandeth is obedient. 2. Therefore thou must believe God Almighty in this most excellent sacrament, more than thine own sense or any visible sign at all, and therefore with fear and reverence is this work to be approached. Take heed, therefore, and see what it is of which the ministry is committed to thee by the laying on of the bishop's hand. Behold, thou art made a priest, and art consecrated to celebrate. See now that thou do it before God faithfully and devoutly at due time, and show thyself without blame. Thou hast not lightened thy burden, but art now bound with a straiter bond of discipline, and art pledged to a higher degree of holiness. A priest ought to be adorned with all virtues and to afford to others an example of good life. His conversation must not be with the popular and common ways of men, but with angels in heaven or with perfect men on earth. 3. A priest clad in holy garments taketh Christ's place, that he may pray unto God with all supplication and humility for himself and for the whole people. He must always remember the passion of Christ. He must diligently look upon Christ's footsteps and fervently endeavour himself to follow them. He must bear meekly for God whatsoever ills are brought upon him by others. He must mourn for his own sins, and for the sins committed by others, and may not grow careless of prayer and holy oblation until he prevail to obtain grace and mercy. When the priest celebrateth, he honoureth God, giveth joy to the angels, buildeth up the church, helpeth the living, hath communion with the departed, and maketh himself a partaker of all good things. Chapter 6. An Inquiry Concerning Preparation for Communion. The Voice of the Disciple. When I consider thy dignity, O Lord, and mine own vileness, I tremble very exceedingly, and am confounded within myself. For if I approach not, I fly from life, and if I intrude myself unworthily, I run into thy displeasure. What then shall I do, O my God, thou helper and counselor in necessities? 2. Teach thou me the right way. Propound unto me some short exercise befitting Holy Communion. For it is profitable to know how I ought to prepare my heart devoutly and reverently for thee, to the intent that I may receive thy sacrament to my soul's health, or it may be also for the celebrating this so great and divine mystery. Chapter 7. Of the Examination of Conscience and Purpose of Amendment. The Voice of the Beloved. Above all things, the priest of God must draw nigh with all humility of heart and supplicating reverence, with full faith and pious desire for the honor of God, to celebrate, minister, and receive this sacrament. Diligently examine thy conscience, and with all thy might, with true contrition and humble confession, cleanse and purify it, so that thou mayest feel no burden, nor know anything which bringeth thee remorse and impedeth thy free approach. Have displeasure against all thy sins in general, and specially sorrow and mourn because of thy daily transgressions. And if thou have time, confess unto God in the secret of thine heart all miseries of thine own passion. 2. Lament grievously and be sorry, because thou art still so carnal and worldly, so unmortified from thy passions, so full of the motion of concupiscence, so unguarded in thine outward senses, so often entangled in many vain fancies, so much inclined to outward things, so negligent of internal, so ready to laughter and dissoluteness, so unready to weeping and contrition, so prone to ease and indulgence of the flesh, so dull to zeal and fervor, so curious to hear novelties and behold beauties, so loth to embrace things humble and despised, so desirous to have many things, so grudging in giving, so close in keeping, so inconsiderate in speaking, so reluctant to keep silence, so disorderly in manners, so inconsiderate in actions, so eager after food, so deaf towards the word of God, so eager after rest, so slow to labor, so watchful after tales, so sleepy towards holy watchings, so eager for the end of them, so wandering in attention to them, so negligent in observing the hours of prayer, so lukewarm in celebrating, so unfruitful in communicating, so quickly distracted, so seldom quite collected with thyself, so quickly moved to anger, so ready for displeasure at others, so prone to judging, so severe at reproving, so joyful in prosperity, so weak in adversity, so often making many good resolutions and bringing them to so little effect. 3. When thou hast confessed and bewailed these and thy other shortcomings, with sorrow and sore displeasure at thine own infirmity, make then a firm resolution of continual amendment of life and of progress in all that is good. Then, moreover, with full resignation and entire will, offer thyself to the honor of my name on the altar of thine heart, as a perpetual whole burnt offering, even by faithfully presenting thy body and soul unto me, to the end that thou mayest so be accounted worthy to draw near to offer this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to God, and to receive the sacrament of my body and blood to thy soul's health. For there is no oblation worthier, no satisfaction greater for the destroying of sin than that a man offer himself to God purely and entirely with the oblation of the body and blood of Christ in the Holy Communion. If a man shall have done what in him lieth, and shall repent him truly, then how often soever he shall draw nigh unto me for pardon and grace. As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of a sinner, but rather that he should be converted and live. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. 1. Ezekiel 18, verse 22-23. Chapter 8. Of the Oblation of Christ upon the Cross, and of resignation of self, and the voice of the Beloved. As I of my own will offered myself unto God the Father on the cross for thy sins with outstretched hands and naked body, so that nothing remained in me that did not become altogether a sacrifice for the divine propitiation, so also oughtest thou every day to offer thyself willingly unto me for a pure and holy oblation, with all thy strength and affections, even to the utmost powers of thine heart. What more do I require of thee, then thou study to resign thyself altogether unto me, Whatsoever thou givest besides thyself, I nothing care for I ask not thy gift, but thee. 2. As it would not be sufficient for thee if thou hadst all things except me, even so whatsoever thou shalt give me, if thou give me not thyself, it cannot please me. Offer thyself to me, and give thyself altogether for God, so shall thy offering be accepted. Behold, I offered myself altogether to the Father for thee. I give also my whole body and blood for food, that thou mightest remain altogether mine and I thine. But if thou stand in thyself, and offer not thyself freely to my will, thy offering is not perfect, neither shall the union betwixt us be complete. Therefore ought the free will offering of thyself into the hands of God to go before all thy works, if thou wilt attain liberty and grace. For this is the cause that so few are inwardly enlightened and made free, that they know not how to deny themselves entirely. My word standeth sure, except a man forsake all, he cannot be my disciple. 1. Thou therefore, if thou wilt be my disciple, offer thyself to me with all thy affections. 1. Luke 14, verse 33. Chapter 9. That we ought to offer ourselves and all that is ours to God, and to pray for all. The voice of the disciple, Lord, all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. 1. I desire to offer myself up unto thee as a free will offering, and to continue thine forever. Lord, in the uprightness of mine heart, I willingly offer too myself to thee today to be thy servant forever, in humble submission and for a sacrifice of perpetual praise. Receive me with this holy communion of thy precious body, which I celebrate before thee this day in the presence of the angels invisibly surrounding, that it may be for the salvation of me and of all thy people. 2. Lord, I lay before thee at this celebration all my sins and offences which I have committed before thee and thy holy angels, from the day whereon I was first able to sin even unto this hour, that thou mayest consume and burn them every one with the fire of thy charity, and mayest do away all the stains of my sins, and cleanse my conscience from all offence, and restore me to thy favour which by sinning I have lost, fully forgiving me all, and mercifully admitting me to the kiss of peace. 3. What can I do concerning my sins, save humbly to confess and lament them, and unceasingly to beseech thy propitiation? I beseech thee, be propitious unto me and hear me, when I stand before thee, O my God. All my sins displease me grievously, I will never more commit them, but I grieve for them, and will grieve so long as I live, steadfastly purposing to repent me truly, and to make restitution as far as I can. Forgive, O God, forgive me my sins for thy holy name's sake. Save my soul, which thou hast redeemed with thy precious blood. Behold, I commit myself to thy mercy, I resign myself to thy hands. Deal with me according to thy loving kindness, not according to my wickedness and iniquity. 4. I offer also unto thee all my goodness, though it is exceedingly little and imperfect, that thou mayest mend and sanctify it, that thou mayest make it well-pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, and ever draw it on towards perfection, and furthermore bring me safely, slothful and useless poor creature that I am, to a happy and blessed end. 5. Moreover, I offer unto thee all pious desires of the devout, necessities of parents, friends, brothers, sisters, and all who are dear to me, and of those who have done good to me, or to others for thy love, and those who have desired and besought my prayers for themselves and all belonging to them, that all may feel themselves assisted by thy grace, enriched by consolation, protected from dangers, freed from pains, and that being delivered from all evils they may joyfully give thee exceeding thanks. 6. I offer also to thee prayers and sacramental intercessions for those specially who have injured me in aught, made me sad or spoken evil concerning me, or have caused me any loss or displeasure. For all those also whom I have at any time made sad, disturbed, burdened, and scandalized by words or deeds, knowingly or ignorantly, that to all of us alike thou mayest equally pardon our sins and mutual offences. Take away, O Lord, from our hearts all suspicion, indignation, anger, and contention, and whatsoever is able to injure charity and diminish brotherly love. Have mercy, Lord, on those who entreat thy mercy. Give grace to the needy, and make us such that we may be worthy to enjoy thy grace and go forward to the life eternal. Amen. 1. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11, 2. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 17. Chapter 10. That holy communion is not lightly to be omitted. The voice of the beloved. Thou must frequently betake thee to the fountain of grace and divine mercy, to the fountain of goodness and all purity, to the end that thou mayest obtain the healing of thy passions and vices, and mayest be made stronger and more watchful against all temptations and wiles of the devil. The enemy, knowing what profit and exceeding strong remedy lieth in the Holy Communion, striveth by all means and occasions to draw back and hinder the faithful and devout so far as he can. 2. For when some set about to prepare themselves for Holy Communion, they suffer from the more evil suggestions of Satan. The very evil spirit himself, as is written in Job, cometh among the sons of God that he may trouble them by his accustomed evil dealing, or make them over timid and perplexed, to the intent that he may diminish their affections, or take away their faith by his attacks, if haply he may prevail upon them to give up Holy Communion altogether, or to come thereto with lukewarm hearts. But his wiles and delusions must not be heeded, howsoever wicked and terrible they be, but all his delusion must be cast back upon his own head. The wretch must be despised and laughed to scorn. Neither must Holy Communion be omitted because of his insults and the inward troubles which he stirreth up. 3. Often also too much carefulness or some anxiety or other touching confession hindereth from obtaining devotion. Do thou according to the counsel of wise men and lay aside anxiety and scruple, because it hindereth the grace of God and destroyeth devotion of mind. Because of some little vexation or trouble, do not thou neglect Holy Communion, but rather hasten to confess it, and forgive freely all offences committed against thee. And if thou hast offended any man, humbly beg for pardon, and God shall freely forgive thee. 4. What profiteth it to put off for long time the confession of thy sins, or to defer Holy Communion? Cleanse thyself forthwith, spit out the poison with all speed, hasten to take the remedy, and thou shalt feel thyself better than if thou didst long defer it. If today thou defer it on one account, tomorrow perchance some greater obstacle will come, and so thou mayest be long time hindered from communion, and become more unfit. As soon as thou canst, shake thyself from thy present heaviness and sloth, for it profiteth nothing to be long anxious, to go long on thy way with heaviness of heart, and because of daily little obstacles to sever thyself from divine things. Nay, it is exceeding hurtful to defer thy communion long, for this commonly bringeth on great torpor. Alas, there are some, lukewarm and undisciplined, who willingly find excuses for delaying repentance, and desire to defer Holy Communion, lest they should be bound to keep stricter watch upon themselves. 5. Alas, how little charity, what flagging devotion have they who so lightly put off Holy Communion! How happy is he, how acceptable to God, who so liveth, and in such purity of conscience keepeth himself, that any day he could be ready and well inclined to communicate if it were in his power, and might be done without the notice of others. If a man sometimes abstaineth for the sake of humility or some sound cause, he is to be commended for his reverence, but if drowsiness have taken hold of him, he ought to rouse himself and to do what in him lieth, and the Lord will help his desire for the good will which he hath, which God specially approveth. 6. But when he is hindered by sufficient cause, yet will he ever have a good will and pious intention to communicate, and so he shall not be lacking in the fruit of the sacrament. For any devout man is able every day and every hour to draw near to spiritual communion with Christ to his soul's health and without hindrance. Nevertheless, on certain days and at the appointed time, he ought to receive the body and blood of his Redeemer with affectionate reverence, and rather to seek after the praise and honor of God than his own comfort. For so often doth he communicate mystically, and is invisibly refreshed, as he devoutly calleth to mind the mystery of Christ's incarnation and his passion, and is inflamed with the love of him. 7. He who only prepareth himself when a festival is at hand or custom compelleth, will too often be unprepared. Blessed is he who offereth himself to God for a whole burnt offering, so often as he celebrateth or communicateth. Be not too slow nor too hurried in thy celebrating, but preserve the good received custom of those with whom thou livest. Thou oughtest not to produce weariness and annoyance in others, but to observe the received custom according to the institution of the elders, and to minister to the profit of others, rather than to thine own devotion or feeling. Chapter 11. That the body and blood of Christ and the Holy Scriptures are most necessary to a faithful soul. The voice of the disciple, O most sweet Lord Jesus, how great is the blessedness of the devout soul that feedeth with thee in thy banquet, where there is set before it no other food than thyself, its only beloved, more to be desired than all the desires of the heart. And to me it would verily be sweet to pour forth my tears in thy presence from the very bottom of my heart, and with the pious Magdalene to water thy feet with my tears. But where is this devotion, where the abundant flowing of holy tears? Surely in thy presence and in the presence of the holy angels my whole heart ought to burn and to weep for joy, for I have thee in the sacrament verily present, although hidden under other form. 2. For in thine own divine brightness mine eyes could not endure to behold thee, neither could the whole world stand before the splendour of the glory of thy majesty. In this therefore thou hast consideration unto my weakness, that thou hidest thyself under the sacrament. I verily possess and adore him whom the angels adore in heaven, I yet for a while by faith, but they by sight and without a veil. It is good for me to be content with the light of true faith, and to walk therein until the day of eternal brightness dawn, and the shadows of figures flee away. But when that which is perfect is come, the using of sacraments shall cease, because the blessed in heavenly glory have no need of sacramental remedy. For they rejoice unceasingly in the presence of God, beholding his glory face to face, and being changed from glory to glory too of the infinite God. They taste the word of God made flesh as he was in the beginning and remaineth for everlasting. 3. When I think on these wondrous things, even spiritual comfort whatsoever it be becometh sore weariness to me. For so long as I see not openly my Lord in his own glory, I count for nothing all which I behold and hear in the world. Thou, O God, art my witness that nothing is able to comfort me. No creature is able to give me rest, save thou, O my God, whom I desire to contemplate everlastingly. But this is not possible so long as I remain in this mortal state. Therefore ought I to set myself unto great patience, and submit myself unto thee in every desire. For even thy saints, O Lord, who now rejoice with thee in the kingdom of heaven, waited for the coming of thy glory whilst they lived here in faith and great glory. What they believed, that believe I. What they hoped, I hope. Whither they have attained to, thither through thy grace, hope I to come. I will walk meanwhile in faith, strengthened by the examples of the saints. I will have also holy books for comfort and for a mirror of life, and above them all thy most holy body and blood shall be for me a special remedy and refuge. 4. For two things do I feel to be exceedingly necessary to me in this life, without which this miserable life would be intolerable to me. Being detained in the prison of this body, I confess that I need two things, even food and light. Thou hast therefore given to me, who am so weak, thy sacred body and blood, for the refreshing of my soul and body, and hast set thy word for a lantern to my feet. Without these two I could not properly live, for the word of God is the light of my soul and thy sacrament the bread of life. These may also be called the two tables, placed on this side and on that, in the treasury of thy holy church. One table is that of the sacred altar bearing the holy bread, that is the precious body and blood of Christ. The other is the table of the divine law, containing holy doctrine, teaching the true faith, and leading steadfastly onwards even to that which is within the veil, where the Holy of Holies is. 5. Thanks be unto thee, O Lord Jesus, light of light everlasting, for that table of holy doctrine which thou hast furnished unto us by thy servants, the prophets and apostles and other teachers. Thanks be to thee, O Creator and Redeemer of men, who to make known thy love to the whole world has prepared a great supper, in which thou hast set forth for good not the typical lamb, but thine own most holy body and blood, making all thy faithful ones joyful with this holy banquet and giving them to drink the cup of salvation, wherein are all the delights of paradise, and the holy angels do feed with us, and with yet happier sweetness. 6. O how great and honourable is the office of the priests, to whom it is given to consecrate the sacrament of the Lord of Majesty with holy words, to bless it with the lips, to hold it in their hands, to receive it with their own mouth, and to administer it to others. O how clean ought those hands to be, how pure the mouth, how holy the body, how unspotted the heart of the priest, to whom so often the author of purity entereth in. From the mouth of the priest ought naught to proceed but what is holy, what is honest and profitable, because he so often receiveth the sacrament of Christ. 7. His eyes ought to be single and pure, seeing they are wont to look upon the body of Christ. The hands should be pure and lifted towards heaven, which are wont to hold within them the Creator of heaven and earth. To priests is it specially said in the law, Be ye holy, for I the Lord your God am holy. 4. 8. Assist us with thy grace, O Almighty God, that we who have taken upon us the priestly office may be able to converse worthily and devoutly with thee in all purity and good conscience. And if we are not able to have our conversation in such innocency of life as we ought, yet grant unto us worthily to lament the sins which we have committed, and in the spirit of humility and full purpose of a good will, to serve thee more earnestly for the future. 1. Song of Solomon 2, verse 17. 2. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. 3. Psalm 119, verse 105. 4. Leviticus 19, verse 2. Chapter 12. That he who is about to communicate with Christ ought to prepare himself with great diligence. The voice of the Beloved. I am the lover of purity and giver of sanctity. I seek a pure heart, and there is the place of my rest. Prepare for me the larger upper room furnished, and I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. If thou wilt that I come unto thee and abide with thee, purge out the old leaven, too, and cleanse the habitation of thy heart. Shut out the whole world and all the throng of sins. Sit as a sparrow alone upon the housetop, 3, and think upon thy transgressions with bitterness of thy soul. For everyone that loveth prepareth the best and fairest place for his beloved, because hereby the affection of him that entertaineth his beloved is known. 2. Yet know thou that thou canst not make sufficient preparation out of the merit of any action of thine, even though thou shouldest prepare thyself for a whole year, and hadst nothing else in thy mind. But out of my tenderness and grace alone art thou permitted to draw nigh unto my table, as though a beggar were called to a rich man's dinner, and had no other recompense to offer him for the benefits done unto him, but to humble himself and to give him thanks. Do therefore as much as lieth in thee, and do it diligently, not of custom, nor of necessity, but with fear, reverence, and affection, receive the body of thy beloved Lord God, who vouchsafeth to come unto thee. I am he who hath called thee, I commanded it to be done, I will supply what is lacking to thee, come and receive me. 3. When I give the grace of devotion, give thanks unto thy God. It is not because thou art worthy, but because I had mercy on thee. If thou hast not devotion, but rather feelest thyself dry, be instant in prayer, cease not to groan and knock, cease not until thou prevail to obtain some crumb or drop of saving grace. Thou hast need of me, I have no need of thee, nor dost thou come to sanctify me, but I come to sanctify thee and make thee better. Thou comest that thou mayest be sanctified by me and be united to me, that thou mayest receive fresh grace and be kindled anew to amendment of life. See that thou neglect not this grace, but prepare thy heart with all diligence, and receive thy beloved unto thee. 4. But thou oughtest not only to prepare thyself for devotion before communion, thou must also keep thyself with all diligence therein after receiving the sacrament. Nor is less watchfulness needed afterwards than devout preparation beforehand, for good watchfulness afterwards becometh in turn the best preparation for the gaining more grace. For hereby is a man made entirely indisposed to good, if he immediately return from communion to give himself up to outward consolations. Beware of much speaking, remain in a secret place, and hold communion with thy God, for thou hast him whom the whole world cannot take away from thee. I am he to whom thou oughtest wholly to give thyself, so that now thou mayest live not wholly in thyself, but in me, free from all anxiety. 1. Mark 14, verse 14-15. 2. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. 3. Psalm 102, verse 7. Chapter 13. That the devout soul ought with the whole heart to yearn after union with Christ in the sacrament, the voice of the disciple, and who shall grant unto me, O Lord, that I may find thee alone, and open all my heart unto thee, and enjoy thee as much as my soul desireth, and that no man may henceforth look upon me, nor any creature move me, or have respect unto me, but thou alone speak unto me, and I unto thee, even as beloved is wont to speak unto beloved, and friend to feast with friend. For this do I pray, this do I long for, that I may be wholly united unto thee, and may withdraw my heart from all created things, and by means of holy communion and frequent celebration, may learn more and more to relish heavenly and eternal things. Ah, Lord God, when shall I be entirely united and lost in thee, and altogether forgetful of myself? Thou in me, and I in thee, even so grant that we may in like manner continue together in one. 2. Verily thou art my beloved, the choicest among 10,000, in whom my soul delighteth to dwell all the days of her life. Verily thou art my peacemaker, in whom is perfect peace and true rest, apart from whom is labor and sorrow and infinite misery. Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, and thy counsel is not with the wicked, but thy word is with the humble and the simple. O how sweet, O Lord, is thy spirit, who that thou mightest manifest thy sweetness towards thy children dost vouchsafe to refresh them with the bread which is full of sweetness, which cometh down from heaven. Verily there is no other nation so great which hath its gods drawing nigh to them as thou our God art present unto all thy faithful ones, three unto whom for their daily solace, and for lifting up their heart unto heaven, thou givest thyself for their food and delight. 3. For what other nation is there so renowned as the Christian people? Or what creature is so beloved under heaven as the devout soul to which God entereth in, that he may feed it with his glorious flesh? O unspeakable grace! O wonderful condescension! O immeasurable love specially bestowed upon men! But what reward shall I give unto the Lord for this grace, for charity so mighty? There is nothing which I am able to present more acceptable than to give my heart altogether unto God, and to join it inwardly to him. Then all my inward parts shall rejoice, when my soul shall be perfectly united unto God. Then shall he say unto me, If thou wilt be with me, I will be with thee. And I will answer him, Vouchsafe, O Lord, to abide with me, I will gladly be with thee. This is my whole desire, even that my heart be united unto thee. Found John 15 verse 4. 2. Song of Solomon 5 verse 10. 3. Deuteronomy 4 verse 7. Chapter 14. Of the fervent desire of certain devout persons to receive the body and blood of Christ. The voice of the disciple. O how great is the abundance of thy sweetness, O Lord, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. When I call to mind some devout persons who draw nigh to thy sacrament, O Lord, with the deepest devotion and affection, then very often I am confounded in myself and blush for shame. That I approach thine altar and table of holy communion so carelessly and coldly, that I remain so dry and without affection, that I am not wholly kindled with love before thee, my God, nor so vehemently drawn and affected as many devout persons have been, who out of the very earnest desire of the communion and tender affection of heart, could not refrain from weeping, but as it were with mouth of heart and body alike panted inwardly after thee, O God, O fountain of life, having no power to appease or satiate their hunger, save by receiving thy body with all joyfulness and spiritual eagerness. 2. O truly ardent faith of those becoming a very proof of thy sacred presence, for they verily know their Lord in the breaking of bread, whose heart so ardently burneth within them, 1. When Jesus walketh with them by the way. Ah me, far from me for the most part is such love and devotion as this, such vehement love and ardour. Be merciful unto me, O Jesus, good, sweet, and kind, and grant unto thy poor suppliant to feel sometimes in holy communion, though it be but a little, the cordial affection of thy love, that my faith may grow stronger, my hope in thy goodness increase, and my charity, once kindled within me by the tasting of the heavenly manna, may never fail. 3. But thy mercy is able even to grant me the grace which I long for, and to visit me most tenderly with the spirit of fervour when the day of thy good pleasure shall come. For although I burn not with desire so vehement as theirs who are specially devout towards thee, yet, through thy grace I have a desire after that greatly inflamed desire, praying and desiring to be made partaker with all those who so fervently love thee and to be numbered among their holy company. 1. Luke 24, verse 32. Chapter 15. That the grace of devotion is acquired by humility and self-denial, the voice of the beloved. Thou oughtest to seek earnestly the grace of devotion, to ask it fervently, to wait for it patiently and faithfully, to receive it gratefully, to preserve it humbly, to work with it diligently, and to leave to God the time and manner of heavenly visitation until it come. Chiefly oughtest thou to humble thyself when thou feelest inwardly little or no devotion, yet not to be too much cast down, nor to grieve out of measure. God oft times giveth in one short moment what he hath long time denied. He sometimes giveth at the end what at the beginning of prayer he hath deferred to give. 2. If grace were always given immediately and were at hand at the wish, it would be hardly bearable to weak man. Wherefore the grace of devotion is to be waited for with a good hope and with humble patience. Yet impute it to thyself and to thy sins when it is not given, or when it is mysteriously taken away. It is sometimes a small thing which hindereth and hideth grace, if indeed that ought to be called small and not rather great which hindereth so great a good. But if thou remove this, be it small or great, and perfectly overcome it, thou wilt have what thou hast asked. 3. For immediately that thou hast given thyself unto God with all thine heart, and hast sought neither this nor that according to thine own will and pleasure, but hast altogether settled thyself in him, thou shalt find thyself united and at peace, because nothing shall give thee so sweet relish and delight as the good pleasure of the divine will. Whosoever therefore shall have lifted up his will unto God with singleness of heart, and shall have delivered himself from every inordinate love or dislike of any created thing, he will be the most fit for receiving grace and worthy of the gift of devotion. For where the Lord findeth empty vessels, one, there giveth he his blessing. And the more perfectly a man forsaketh things which cannot profit, and the more he dieth to himself, the more quickly doth grace come, the more plentifully doth it enter in, and the higher doth it lift up the free heart. 4. Then shall he see, and flow together, and wonder, and his heart shall be enlarged within him, because the hand of the Lord is with him, and he hath put himself wholly in his hand, even for ever. Lo, thus shall the man be blessed, that seeketh God with all his heart, and receiveth not his soul in vain. This man, in receiving the Holy Eucharist, obtaineth the great grace of divine union, because he hath not regard to his own devotion and comfort, but above all devotion and comfort to the glory and honour of God. 1 Kings 4:2, Isaiah 60:5, chapter 16. That we ought to lay open our necessities to Christ and to require his grace. The voice of the disciple, O most sweet and loving Lord, whom now I devoutly desire to receive, thou knowest my infirmity and the necessity which I suffer, in what evils and vices I lie. How often I am weighed down, tempted, disturbed, and defiled. I come unto thee for remedy, I beseech of thee consolation and support. I speak unto thee who knowest all things, to whom all my secrets are open, and who alone art able perfectly to comfort and help me. Thou knowest what good thing I most stand in need of, and how poor I am in virtues. 2. Behold, I stand poor and naked before thee, requiring grace and imploring mercy. Refresh the hungry suppliant, kindle my coldness with the fire of thy love, illuminate my blindness with the brightness of thy presence. Turn thou all earthly things into bitterness for me, all grievous and contrary things into patience, all things worthless and created into contempt and oblivion. Lift up my heart unto thee in heaven, and suffer me not to wander over the earth. Be thou alone sweet unto me from this day forward for ever, because thou alone art my meat and drink, my love and joy, my sweetness, and my whole good. 3. O that thou wouldest altogether by thy presence kindle, consume, and transform me into thyself, that I may be made one spirit with thee by the grace of inward union and the melting of earnest love. Suffer me not to go away from thee hungry and dry, but deal mercifully with me, as oftentimes thou hast dealt wondrously with thy saints. What marvel if I should be wholly kindled from thee, and in myself should utterly fail, since thou art fire always burning and never failing, love purifying the heart and enlightening the understanding. Chapter 17. Of fervent love and vehement desire of receiving Christ. The voice of the disciple. With the deepest devotion and fervent love, with all affection and fervor of heart, I long to receive thee, O Lord, even as many saints and devout persons have desired thee in communicating, who were altogether well-pleasing to thee by their sanctity of life and dwelt in all ardent devotion. O my God, eternal love, my whole good, happiness without measure, I long to receive thee with the most vehement desire and becoming reverence which any saint ever had or could have. 2. And although I be unworthy to have all those feelings of devotion, yet do I offer thee the whole affection of my heart, even as though I alone had all those most grateful inflamed desires. Yea, also, whatsoever things a pious mind is able to conceive and long for, all these with the deepest veneration and inward fervor do I offer and present unto thee. I desire to reserve nothing unto myself, but freely and entirely to offer myself and all that I have unto thee for a sacrifice. O Lord my God, my Creator and Redeemer, with such affection, reverence, praise, and honor, with such gratitude, worthiness, and love, with such faith, hope, and purity do I desire to receive thee this day, as thy most blessed Mother, the glorious Virgin Mary, received and desired thee, when she humbly and devoutly answered the angel who brought unto her the glad tidings of the mystery of the Incarnation. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. 1:3. And as thy blessed forerunner, the most excellent of saints, John Baptist, being full of joy in thy presence, leapt while yet in the womb of his mother, for joy in the Holy Ghost, And afterwards, discerning Jesus walking amongst men, humbled himself exceedingly, and said with devout affection, The friend of the bridegroom who standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Even so I wish to be inflamed with great and holy desires, and to present myself unto thee with my whole heart. Whence also, on behalf of myself and of all commended to me in prayer, I offer and present unto thee the jubilation of all devout hearts, their ardent affections, their mental ecstasies and supernatural illuminations and heavenly visions, with all the virtues and praises celebrated and to be celebrated by every creature in heaven and earth, to the end that by all thou mayest worthily be praised and glorified forever. 4. Receive my prayers, O Lord my God, and my desires of giving thee infinite praise and unbounded benediction, which, according to the multitude of thine unspeakable greatness, are most justly due unto thee. These do I give thee, and desire to give every day and every moment, and with beseechings and affectionate desires, I call upon all celestial spirits and all thy faithful people to join with me in rendering thee thanks and praises. 5. Let all peoples, nations, and tongues praise thee, and magnify thy holy and sweet-sounding name with highest jubilations and ardent devotion. And let all who reverently and devoutly celebrate thy most high sacrament, and receive it with full assurance of faith, be accounted worthy to find grace and mercy with thee, and intercede with all supplication for me a sinner. And when they shall have attained unto their wished-for devotion and joyous union with thee, and shall depart full of comfort and wondrously refreshed from thy holy heavenly table, let them vouchsafe to be mindful of me, for I am poor and needy. 1. Luke 1, verse 38. 2. John 3, verse 29. Chapter 18. That a man should not be a curious searcher of the sacrament, but a humble imitator of Christ, submitting his sense to holy faith. The voice of the Beloved, Thou must take heed of curious and useless searching into this most profound sacrament, if thou wilt not be plunged into the abyss of doubt. He that is a searcher of majesty shall be oppressed by the glory thereof. 1. God is able to do more than man can understand. A pious and humble search after truth is to be allowed, when it is always ready to be taught, and striving to walk after the wholesome opinions of the fathers. 2. Blessed is the simplicity which leaveth alone the difficult paths of questionings, and followeth the plain and firm steps of God's commandments. Many have lost devotion whilst they sought to search into deeper things. Faith is required of thee, and a sincere life, not loftiness of intellect, nor deepness in the mysteries of God. If thou understandest not nor comprehendest the things which are beneath thee, how shalt thou comprehend those which are above thee? Submit thyself unto God, and humble thy sense to faith, and the light of knowledge shall be given thee, as shall be profitable and necessary unto thee. 3. There are some who are grievously tempted concerning faith and the sacrament, but this is not to be imputed to themselves, but rather to the enemy. Care not then for this. Dispute not with thine own thoughts, nor make answer to the doubts which are cast into thee by the devil, but believe the words of God, believe his saints and prophets, and the wicked enemy shall flee from thee. Often it profiteth much that the servant of God endureth such things. For the enemy tempteth not unbelievers and sinners because he already hath secure possession of them, but he tempteth and harasseth the faithful and devout by various means. 4. Go forward therefore with simple and undoubting faith, and draw nigh unto the sacrament with supplicating reverence. And whatsoever thou art not enabled to understand, that commit without anxiety to Almighty God. God deceiveth thee not, he is deceived who believeth too much in himself. God walketh with the simple, revealeth himself to the humble, giveth understanding to babes, openeth the sense to pure minds, and hideth grace from the curious and proud. Human reason is weak and may be deceived, but true faith cannot be deceived. 5. All reason and natural investigation ought to follow faith, not to precede, nor to break it. For faith and love do here especially take the highest place, and work in hidden ways in this most holy and exceeding excellent sacrament. God, who is eternal and incomprehensible, and of infinite power, doth great and inscrutable things in heaven and in earth, and his wonderful works are past finding out. If the works of God were of such sort that they might easily be comprehended by human reason, they should no longer be called wonderful or unspeakable. 1. Proverbs 25, verse 27, Vulg.